Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
I can hardly process it all. I can still remember when my folks had this talk, the talk, with me. The old man was on the edge of breaking into tears, and my mother was on the edge of rage. They both, in their own way, felt like they'd failed me. Maybe they thought they could do something about the world before I got old enough to be affected by it. But they had lied to themselves. They had ignored the fact that from the moment I came out with all this black skin, the world was already turning its blades against me. The traps had already been set. The walls had already been built. The schools, the prisons, the self-hatred. It had all been done before I ever showed up, and my parents had the audacity to think that they'd stood a chance against any of it. They dared to believe that they could change anything.
That's Jason Mott reading an excerpt from his National Book Award-winning novel, Hell of a Book. The novel follows an unnamed black author who goes on a publicity tour across the country to promote his best-selling novel. The book also tells the story of a young black boy named Soot who lives in a rural town in the not-too-distant past, and a character known as the Kid, who might be imaginary. Hell of a Book combines elements of noir, tragedy, and playfulness. Jason joined us to explain how that came about and why he decided to write Hell of a Book.
Largely just for the fun of it, I really enjoy stories that work outside the standard kind of confines of storytelling. Don't get me wrong, like I really enjoy a very normal, straight A to B to C kind of storytelling. But the ones that I always come back to me in my memory are the ones that do things very differently and have these kind of creative flourishes. And so after my first three novels, which are all very, I would argue, very standard and straightforward, I had been just itching to write in that kind of creative way that I always loved. When I was younger in undergrad writing fiction, I did a lot of really unique, creative, strange stories and kind of got away from that. And I wanted to go back to that. I was out of contract. There was no one expecting this novel. It was just me and the page having fun.
I've read that Hell of a Book allowed you to play with language in a way that you hadn't been able to before. And what you were just talking about, can you elaborate a bit, though, on what you were doing differently with the language?
It was closer to my own voice than I think most things that I've written. When you're a younger writer, there are so many people that you admire, and you oftentimes spend a lot of your writing career like not in so much trying to copy them, but you're trying to write in a way that like those authors would be proud of you. It's almost like you want to kind of do things in the spirit of how they did them. That worked for me for quite a while. But with this one, it was a novel that I wrote for myself. And the flourishes and the fun and the silliness and then also the heaviness and the exactitude of the language and using film noir as like a mechanic to tell this story about Black America, like those are all things that I personally just wanted to do because it was fun and challenging, and I really enjoyed those sections.
Mm-hmm. And so that probably added to your surprise that you mentioned earlier when you actually won the National Book Award, because as you say, it was a book you wrote for yourself.
Yes. This entire experience has been very shocking to me. When I was in the writing process, like before my agent saw it, before anyone really saw it, I was talking to a friend about the book, and she had not read the book at all. But I told her, I said, I don't think anyone's going to want to buy this book except for, you know, I think this book is just for me, because I said, it's a very confusing book. It's doing 17 different things. It's got film noir. It's got Nick Cage. It's got, you know, shootings and murders and police violence. It's got frenetic, you know, weird sex scenes happening. Like I said, it's just a hodgepodge of all these things that I think I'm the only person that's going to understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And so it was a book that I really did not expect anyone to like or connect with, but it was something that I had so much fun. And it was very difficult at times to write as well. I don't want to like slip past that. It was definitely some of the most demanding emotional and creative writing I've done.
You never actually reveal the name of the narrator. Why?
So there was a draft of this story in which the narrator did have a name, and almost immediately from the time I gave him a name, I recognized it was a big mistake, and I took it out and just never looked back, because so much of the novel is trying to dance this line between this very personal, specific experience that the author is having, that only the author could have, you know, the publishing industry, all this unique specificity to this person. And yet it also is trying to tell this universal story of the Black experience in America. when I gave the narrator a specific voice, it made him too specific. It took away that ability to become any person in any kind of, you know, just that anonymity that I wanted him to have. Because it is a story that wants to talk about the specific and the general at the same exact time. And that's a really difficult thing to do. And that specific name just took that away.
I see. Yeah, that makes total sense. That never occurred to me. But yeah, I think you were right to do that. Besides the narrator, there are also two other very important characters in Hell of a Book, Soot and the Kid. Can you tell us about them?
So those are two characters that kind of emerged. And again, they're also characters who don't really have names. Obviously, the Kid is, that's the title that he gets christened by the author. And Soot is the title. I mean, that's the name the bullies gave him. So we never find out the names of any of these main characters. But they emerged. So the Soot character happened when I was in this phase of before it was a novel. I was just writing these experiences about my thoughts and feelings about being Black and some of my personal memories about growing up. And it was just this hodgepodge of things, some of them real, some of them imagined, some of them kind of taken from the news. But it was a story of like youth and this kind of coming of age and like what it meant to be a parent to a child to a minority child and all these kinds of things. And so Soot kind of grew out of that. The Kid, weirdly enough, and just make people question my mental state sometimes, the Kid just kind of appeared one day, just almost as he does in the novel. I was revising the scenes with the author because the scenes with the author were written first. Like that whole narrative of the author on book tour was written first. And I was going back in and I was doing some work on that. And I was just letting myself be creative. And then all of a sudden, you know, this kid shows up and the kid starts talking to the author. And I was like, well, let's just see where this goes. And it went and kept going and turned into a big pivotal part of the novel.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most powerful storylines in your book is the tragic police shooting of a young Black boy. The shooting airs repeatedly on the news, so it's a kind of a recurring motif. How difficult was it for you to write these scenes?
Those were some of the most difficult, quite frankly. That entire arc was in response to that feeling that I think many of us have experienced, but I definitely went through when I was writing. Before this novel, like those experiences kind of were what caused this novel, where there was the Freddie Gray incident and there was Trayvon Martin. And there's so many people, I can't even remember all the names. Like, and it was this period of almost every day there was a report of a new shooting. I had set up a Google Alerts at one point to try to keep track of things. And it started flooding my email box. And so I wanted to mirror that. And so writing those scenes was very difficult because it was forcing me to really face how often this thing happens and like the feeling that I kind of have when I, you know, you hear about these shootings and they just don't go away and you try to ignore them because you become overwhelmed, but they just don't go away. And that's where that kind of comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The title of your novel, Hell of a Book, reminds me of the great noir writer Jim Thompson's novel, A Hell of a Woman. And your narrator is a fan of film noir, and there are a few references to Fred McMurray and Double Indemnity. So I've got to ask, was A Hell of a Woman an influence on Hell of a Book in any way?
Unfortunately not. Like the genre, of course, is, but that particular work, unfortunately, isn't. It's funny, the title was not my option. It was not my choice at all. A little weird piece of trivia, I have yet to title any novel that I've written. Like there's always an agent or an editor who comes up with a better title because I'm terrible at titles. So we had gotten pretty far in the process. My agent and I, we were about to start shopping it to publishers and we needed a title. I submitted a few and they were all really terrible. And my agent said, we should call it Hell of a Book. And I told her, I said, I don't want to do that because that's a very arrogant title for a book. Like if I went to a bookstore and I saw a book called Hell of a Book, I'd immediately walk past it because it's just like, how dare you be so presumptuous? And my agent said, no, it works because the novel has this running gag of like everyone says, oh, you wrote such a hell of a book. And then there's also just the fact that like the book is about the hell you go through in writing a book. So my agent's just stuck by our guns and somehow it worked.
Do you mind? Would you mind sharing a couple of the titles you had, or the terrible titles, or would you prefer not to?
I can't even really remember most of them. They were just so bad. The full title of the book is Hell of a Book, or the altogether factual, wholly bona fide story of a big dreams, hard luck, American-made mad kid. That long, meandering, stuttering title is the one that I came up with. And I submitted to my agent and I said, okay, we can do your Hell of a Book title if you want, but I would love for the book to be so absurd that it has this really long, drawn out title And so the compromise was we would use that as like the interior flap.
So
that's kind of where my brain was at. I was pushing this absurdist route so hard that I think she wanted to dial it back a bit.
Right. I like your title though. I think it conjures images of sort of more of an old timey type story, kind of a Mark Twain story or a folktale or something. I want to get back to film noir for just a second. Do you see any connection between film noir and what it means to be Black in America?
Yes and no. I do think that there's a bit of a connection because, you know, when you break down film noir, like, it was so detached from reality. Film noir is a space where language functions in a very specific kind of way. Interactions, like, it is so unique in how it represents itself. And I think that a lot of that is how, you know, America treats Black culture. Black culture becomes this commodified thing there where people talk a certain way and they walk a certain way and they dance a certain way and all these things. So I think there's a parallel in that of how film noir is kind of viewed as this one-off genre. And I think that unfortunately a lot of Black culture gets viewed as this one-off kind of thing that sits apart from American culture and American identity. So I think there's similarity there. But unfortunately, like during the period when film noir was being made and, you know, the genre was really big, Black Americans weren't really allowed to be in those movies and to have those kinds of stories told through that lens of film noir, which would have been really beautiful and interesting at the time. But you didn't get many film noir stories with Black characters doing anything. And so I think that's where there's a bit of a dissonance and disconnect that I would love to see, and which is what actually made the novel fun and interesting for me, because it was kind of, the novel was trying to send this message that, like, people don't think of Black people as connecting with things like film noir or all these genres that we think of as like very much Americana. We don't oftentimes think of minorities and like young Black kids somehow connecting with them. And they are, and they do. I mean, I grew up watching a lot of Japanese anime and, like, you know, Westerns and Star Trek and like all those things as well. Then I discovered film noir later, and like film noir is really important to me and really fascinating to me. And like, I love the language and the cadence and the rhythm and everything about it. And there are others that I know that do as well, but you don't hear about that. So using that in the novel was really fun.
Yeah. One of the possible connections I saw between film noir and what it means to be Black in America, and this isn't fair for me to say because I'm a white guy, but it seems to me that film noir is kind of my favorite film genre because of it's so existential. And it seems like the lives of Black people, the systemic racism and everything, creates the same kind of tragic lives and tragic endings that you see in a lot of film noir. What do you think?
I think there's something to that. I think the only difference in that is that, like, so much of film noir is populated by people making very insidious decisions.
This is true. Good point. Yeah, very, like, good point. Yeah.
They very much, film noir are very much like they come to ends of their own makings, so to speak. And I think that's one of the trademarks of film noir. Like, it's bad people doing bad things to other bad people. That sense of tragedy that does permeate a lot of film noir, because there's always the one good character who is somewhat innocent and kind of gets taken advantage of by the others. Like, there's some resonance in that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. But yeah, I really like what you had to say. Your ideas make much more sense than mine. We talked earlier about how with this book, your fourth novel, Hell of a Book, you were able to play with language in a way that you hadn't been able to before. Do you think that you'll be able to continue to play with language in your future work?
Yes, I am positive that I will. And like that was part of my goal for this. When we sold this novel, like, my previous books were all done under contract to a publisher. And I'm not knocking the publisher by any means. Like, I loved my previous publisher. I loved my previous editor. But part of the separation from them just kind of came from this space of kind of creative differences. So I wrote this novel outside of contract, like, was not owed to anyone. It was just a passion project that I had on my own, which is what gave me license to make it this weird, unique, strange, fun, dark thing that I wanted to make. Because there was no one to say, oh, you can't really do this, and that's not what I want. Like, it was just me having fun. And so when we sold the novel to my current publisher, the one stipulation that I told my agent that was a hard line deal breaker was, I said, this will be a one book deal. I said, I will never write under contract again. I said, from here on out, I'll just go off into the forest and write my books and then come back and find a publisher for them. We sold this to Dutton, who I've been absolutely in love with. Like, Dutton has been absolutely wonderful to me. But it was a one book deal. So right now I am not under contract to anyone. I can go write whatever I want and just find a home for it. And that's probably how the rest of my career will function. Mm-hmm. So the next novel that I write, I can make as playful as I want.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you've got creative carte blanche. That's the way to go. Yeah. Jason Mott, thank you for joining us today. Congratulations on winning the National Book Award for Hell of a Book. It really is a hell of a book.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Jason Mott is the author of Hell of a Book, the winner of the National Book Award for Fiction. Find out more at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Bob Odenkirk, Dana Schwartz, and Jason Mott. Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And you can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
If I had anything to do with it, I'm proud.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Yeah, we were in town doing a show and we said, hey, let's go see Adam.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
That job was never the right fit for me. This is